Let me do that again. Every day I wake up, then I start to break up. Lonely is a man without love. Every day I start out, then I cry my heart out. Lonely is a man without love. I will not be singing a solo on Java Night. Don't expect that. I just try to, well, hopefully I will learn how to sing. Did you like singing that song? And have you pondered upon it? Anyone can have love. Anyone can have love. But that depends on the type of love you are feeling, type of love you have. According to experts, how many love do you know? How many types of love do you know? There are 9 types of love accordingly. There's Eros, Pragma, Ludus, Philia, Philautia, Storgi, Mania, Mirakin, and Agape love. Well, Eros love, you know this, a passionate love, is a romantic or sexual interest kind of love. This is the love of Samson and Delilah. It's Eros love. Pragma means practical. It is practical, enduring, long-term love, common to arrange marriage. And Isaac and Rebecca had pragma love, which was arranged by Abraham. And we have number 3, it's ludus, or playful love. Uncommitted, flirty, seduced, crass, no string attached. This ludus love is commonly observed among teenagers or even movie stars. And number 4 is philia. It is authentic, long-lasting friendship defined by deeper trust and respect. We can observe that between David and Jonathan and Lazarus and Jesus. It exemplified philia love. In the Bible, it says, Jesus loved Lazarus, and that word was philia. And storge, love, this is familial. Oh, let me go back to number five. Philautia, it's philautia, love, it is self-love. Self-esteem, self-respect, it's self-confidence. This is not the narcissistic kind of love. It's more about self-worth or self-ability. It's like the example is Joseph, the son of Jacob. He exemplified self-respect, philautia love, so that he avoided temptation. He had a lot of respect of himself, that he is a believer of God, that is philautia love. So if you think that, no, I don't want to do that, I want to protect my image, I am a believer of God, something like that, and you do not want to commit things that the Bible forbids, that's philautia love. This is really something that we encourage among Christians to have self-respect of ourselves, have respect of ourselves. Now, in number 6 is storge. Storge is familial love between parents and children. This is the example could be Rebecca. Rebecca loved her son Jacob much. That's the storge love of Rebecca. And Isaac, he loved his firstborn son Esau more. So, and number 7, this is mania, or maniacal kind of love, this obsessive love, this is imbalanced affection and overly attached. And maybe this is the reason David committed adultery and murdered the husband of Bathsheba, because he had mania love for Bathsheba. And Meraki love, number 8, is love for creative arts, love for painting, love for music. You love music? That's Meraki love. Love decoration or cooking or even baking, it's more about arts. That's Meraki love. And King Solomon had Meraki love for poetry, and he loved also to have much orchard and building structures. That's Meraki love. And the last one, number 9, that this is what we are going to learn today, agape love, that's up to you how you pronounce it. If you are a British reader, you read it as agape. If you are American reader, you say agape. So agape, since Canada is more on British, we read this agape, all right? It's selfless, altruistic, it's sacrificial, compassionate, unconditional love. We classify the love of God or godly love as agape love, godly love, all right? You can explore more. I don't know if there are more different types of love, but better explore agape love much more. The Holy Spirit produced love in us, that is the agape love. And biblically, agape or godly love is patient and kind, it's humble, tolerant, and we'll stick to that for now. Agape love is tolerant and patiently kind. All right? In verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud. I use that term tolerant for now, or it is also patient for the sake of remembering our message this morning. But how patient, how tolerant godly love can be? Patience and tolerance, this can be tested when provoked to get angry. When somebody is trying to provoke you, it is when you would be tested in your tolerance and your patience. The opposite of patience is quick-tempered. So if you are quick-tempered, you do not have tolerance yet. Patience is properly translated as long-tempered as opposed to quick-tempered. It does not easily retaliate in anger. Tolerance differs. It suspends anger for the time being. So instead of expressing your anger and you want that anger to not to be expressed, that's tolerance. And godly love is tolerant and lenient, or patient. Patient agape love can wait a long, long time. Godly love is kind. And kindness, this is mild, benevolent. It's for the needs of others, thinking of others' needs. That's the kindness, as opposed to being harsh, being cruel. Kindness is exhibited when we forgive. Kindness is exhibited more when we forgive. It's easy to be kind to those who are kind. It's easy to be kind to those who are pleasant people. But kindness is tested when you have somebody to forgive. To be patient and kind, this was illustrated by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verse 26 to 35. Let's read together. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debts of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Reflect on that situation. We ask God for the forgiveness of our sins. By faith, we believe that He has forgiven us. But how do we practically know that God had really forgiven us? How? Practically, our attitude toward others proved that we received forgiveness from God. Are we tolerant? Are we lenient to our family? Are we patient? Are we kind to those who follow different religion? When it says, love is patient, love is kind, it also supplemented, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. How should we explain that to a child? Why is not envy, not boast, not proud added to love is patient and love is kind? Now, in our illustration, the master was patient. He was kind. He had that pity to the first servant. The master forgave his huge debt. If you go through the passage later, the servants had 10,000 bags of gold as debt from the master that the master forgave. How much is that in the current in today's currency? According to expert, it can be translated to $87 billion. Wow. A servant had loan of $87 billion that had been forgiven by the master. But this harsh and cruel servant, he may have boasted, "I am someone great. Why? Look at that. $87 billion. The master forgave it. Look at that." He may have been so proud about that. He felt so proud. He felt so invincible. And that he had no mercy to his fellow servant. Probably he was very envious that his master, wealthy master, just forgive. All right. $87 billion? Yeah, that's okay. You do not need to pay. Wow, how rich a person could that be? Even the billionaires in this time, they would not, they cannot even give away $87 billion for donation at one time. Much more to forgive. That harsh and cruel servant may have been very eager to get rich. Why? He is not satisfied with his salary, so that he asked for loan from advance payment, maybe, from his master, until he incurred that debt. It is 7 billion. By all means, he wanted to get rich. He had a huge debt. And at all costs, he wanted to get all the money he could. The 100 silver coin that his fellow servant owed him. How much is that? 100 silver coin. One silver coin was equivalent to 1 day salary. So that is 100 day salary. 1 day salary, how much is that? If, say, $15 would be payment for per hour times 8, that is how much? 120. And multiply that to 100, that is $12,000 that his fellow servant owed him. Well, he can buy a second-hand car with that. And he wanted it. He wanted it very much. Why? Well, he had no money. He had no money. He had even, it is 7 billion debt. Think about that. The 87 billion debt was forgiven, but that harsh and cruel servant cannot forgive that $12,000 debt of his fellow servant. Personally, are you eager to get rich? Are you envious of rich people who drive fancy cars? Are you tempted to buy the latest high-tech gadget in the market so that you can be proud of? Many young people are trapped in this mindset. Not only young people, many people actually. When the Holy Spirit produces fruit, produces love in us, we can persevere. We can wait for the divine timing of God to grant us what is best in His eyes. Do you believe that the Lord would bless you if you are faithful to Him? It declares in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7 to 8, let's read together meditatively. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and He exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from ash heap. He sits with them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. How strong do you acknowledge that all things we have, that all things we enjoy come from God? How do you acknowledge that? When by grace God abundantly shower us blessing, we praise Him. How about in a scarcity? Can we still praise God? Can we still thank Him? Someone admitted, I am disturbed when I have no money. Another one said, I feel good to have much money. Does it feel good to have much money? Yes. When we are sufficiently blessed, we sense that peace, tranquility. We do not worry about tomorrow. Tranquility of heart. Let's read again verse 5 of our passage. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Now, this is very interesting. Agape love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. With godly love, we are tolerant, we are patient, we are kind, we are not envious, we are not boastful, not proud, not dishonor, not self-seeking, not keeping record of wrongs. We do not dishonor. We do not disrespect others. When we sense that tranquility of heart, if you have that peace of heart, you're not easily angered. You may have heard people demand, earn your respect. You heard that every now and then. Does the Bible teach us to earn respect? That is worldly mindset. It's not biblical. Earn your respect. Or have you demand other people? Earn your respect. I cannot respect you. In contrast, we do not demand respect to be earned. Why? With agape love, we can respect. We can honor others without trying to force the issue. We can respect their opinion, respect even a little child. Little child has some talents, we can respect that. We sense that peace, tranquility, we are not provoked. Tranquility of heart when others won't verbally express appreciation of our accomplishment. For example, you did something and people would just, it's kind of like common to them and not readily excited to tell you, oh, you're really good, you're really good. Well, recognition is appreciated, but if ever you keep records of wrong and you grumble and you are sulky, pray that agape love prevails in you. Have you sensed that grumbling in your heart? You grumble because your co-worker was promoted and you are not. You were chosen to be a representative with your school and you are not. You grumble. You are sulky. Why? Maybe you need to pray for agape love. And you have that agape love in your heart, that agape love, when the agape love prevails in your heart, you would sense that tranquility, that peace of heart. Whatever they achieve, you are at peace. You can rejoice with them. With godly love, we are tolerant, patient, kind, not easily angry, not resentful, not sulky, or grumble. We would rather remember than and thank and praise God for abundant blessing instead of thinking of those things that would make us feel bad. We would rather think of what God had done in our lives. Now, do you like animated films? Have you seen the animated film White Fang? White Fang is about a wolf dog that saved a police officer. One snowy night, the starving White Fang looked for food and came across a police officer. The police officer gave a piece of salmon and hoped that the starving White Fang might be able to return similar favor in the future. White Fang was still a puppy, little puppy at the time. And fast forward, White Fang grew strong and huge when it encountered the police officer once again. But at that time, there was this ferocious fugitive who tried to kill the police officer. And what else was there to save him? Yes, White Fang, the wolf dog, saved the police officer. You have seen, watch movies of loyalties of dog to humans who save them, even in the social media. There are videos out there of people save a starving dog, clean that starving dog, put a healing balm to the starving dog until the starving dog regained that strength and the dog become very loyal to the human. Even monkeys and other animals. Loyalties of dog to human who save them can touch the emotion. And many animals can remember the goodness of humans to them. What do you think? Could human readily remember also the goodness we've done for them? Personally, it favors us to be reminded, and it, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you ability to produce wealth. Read that again. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. In another translation, the term ability is translated wisdom, for it is God who gives you the wisdom to produce wealth. Now, wisdom to produce wealth, you want to have much wealth? Ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord. Pray for ability from the Lord. And pray that God enables you to remember that it's He who gives you that ability, wisdom to produce much wealth. So when practical abundance causes thanks and praise to God, we sense more assurance that the Lord would sustain us in this life and in the next life to come. Our experience with God in this life should be our practical proof that the Lord would sustain us in eternal life, in life in eternity, I should say. Someone may ask or ponder upon, if God is love, He can tolerate, right? God is love, He can tolerate. If God is love, He don't record wickedness, right? God is love. So why do we still warn people about eternal punishment? What is the need of reminding people of eternal punishment if God is love and He does not keep records of wrong? Everyone is warned in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Ponder upon that for a while. The Lord is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish. And many people declare, God is love, God is love. But they ignore that God is just. So they take advantage to that truth that God is love. They ignore that God is just. God is tolerant, God is kind, God does not delight in evil, but He is pleased with the truth. God is not happy when we sin. That is truth. He's not happy when we sin. But when we repent, He forgives. When He forgives, He forgets our sins. How strong do you believe that? But can we practically prove that God has forgiven us? God forgives us so that we forgive others. That is the practical proof that God has forgiven us. When we become tolerant and kind to others, when we can forgive others, that is when we know that God has forgiven us. The Holy Spirit produces agape love for us to keep no record of wrong. That's tough. Keep no record of wrong. How many among you still remember the wrongs that others have done in the past and still enraged with it? God forgets the sin He forgave as proof of His agape love. Agape love is not resentful. If you still sense that resentment in your heart, keep praying, Lord, let your Holy Spirit produce agape love in me. It is much better to sense that love than resentment in your heart, right? It keeps no records of wrong. It feels bad, feels so bad to to keep on remembering those bad things that happened to you in the past, it makes your day not good. Keep praying that agape love prevail in your heart. Agape love delights and rejoices with the truth. Let's read verse 6 once again. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now, see, God's love does not delight in evil. God's love is not happy with evil. Agape love is tolerant, patient, kind, but not envious, not proud. It honors others. It's not self-seeking. Not self-seeking, what does that mean? Self-seeking meaning I should be recognized, kind of like. It's tranquil, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrong. Additionally, agape love is not happy with evil. Agape love keeps no records of wrong, but delights in the truth. How can we integrate that? Agape love keeps no records of wrong, but delights in the truth. How can we put that together? How can you delight in the truth when you cannot remember the bad things happen to you? How can you do that? Do you assume that agape love is unconditional? Truly, God loved us before we were yet to be born. He loved us. Even before He created us, He loved us. Even before we committed any sin, He had already forgiven us. Did you know that? Even before you were born, even before you commit that sin, God had already forgiven us. God had already loved us. It clearly declares in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But for us, this statement was possible because it was written in the first century. Apostle Paul was already born when Christ died on the cross. But since we were born 2,000 years later, we cannot say, while we were still sinner. Instead, we would say, while we were not yet born. See? Where we were not yet born, where when we did not even think about sinning, Christ has already sacrificed for us. Meaning, even the sin that we have committed in the past, the present, and we are about to commit in the next few years, Christ has already paid for them all. When did God demonstrate His love for us? It happened more than 2,000 years ago when Christ was crucified. When Christ was crucified, He declared forgiveness of sin. It is finished on the cross. The past, present, and the future, sin included. Can you imagine that? And since God had forgiven our sins, don't be too quick to think that everyone received it. Not everyone received it, no. Did you receive the forgiveness of God? Did you? Everyone is forgiven, but only sincere, repentant believers experience the forgiveness of God. Only sincere, repentant believers experience the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God, it powerfully changes the repentant believers. If we are forgiven, if we receive the forgiveness of God, we experience that ourselves. How? How do we know that we have sincerely repented of our sins? How do we know that we have received the forgiveness of God? How do we know that we practically, personally experience the forgiveness of God? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, let's read together. Bear with each other and forgive one another If any of you has grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. How much forgiveness have you received from the Lord? Agape love is demonstrated in the forgiveness of sin. Agape love, when it is at work in our heart, we have that joy, have that peace, tranquility of heart to forgive others. We have that. Repentant believers receive forgiveness, which is practically manifested in forgiving others. Don't deceive yourself by saying, by faith, I believe I was forgiven. Don't deceive yourself saying that. Yes, that is a good statement, but you need to prove it practically. You need to prove it personally that you really received that forgiveness of God. When godly love is active in us, we can forgive others. We are tolerant. When we are not tolerant just yet, when we are not kind to others just yet, we don't sense that peace. We don't sense that tranquility. And we keep records of wrong. When we keep records of wrong, it shows that we haven't experienced the forgiveness of God as much as God wants us to experience. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't. What do you call that? How do you translate alaga in English? Wag mong alagaan. How do you translate that? Don't take care. I don't know if that's the right translation. Nurture. Thank you, son. Do not nurture that grudge, resentment in your heart. It will grow. It will grow. Instead, starve. Starve that resentment in your heart. But ask the Lord, nurture that agape love. Keep on asking, Lord, I still sense this little resentment. I don't like it. So help me, Lord. Help me. Bless me more. Let your agape love grow in my heart. Practically, the amount of forgiveness we receive from God is manifested in the amount how much we forgive others. It balances. You cannot receive less and forgive more. How much you receive, how much forgiveness you receive, that is the only amount of forgiveness that you can give. Meaning, if you can forgive more, you know that you have received more. Right? Think about that. We can forgive just as we have been forgiven by the Lord. Amen? Someone said, oh, well, Pastor, my fiancé always remind me of my previous mistakes. Another one said, my parents always bring out my mistake in the past. Still, it was told, they always remind me of their grievances against my wrongdoings. Well and truly, when we repeat the same mistake, not a few people would be reminded of our previous mistake. True. When we keep on doing what we did in the past, you will be reminded, ginawa mo na naman yan. What is that? You did it again, something like that. Now, when mistakes that happened long time ago are brought out, pag kinalkal, your wrongdoings in the past and present it again to you, it means those mistakes were kept secured on record, not forgotten. They are documented, put in a hard disk drive or I don't know where, iCloud. They can easily download it now, that stuff, right? Since they keep records of wrongs, does it mean that they didn't practically receive or experience forgiveness of God just yet? Maybe they receive forgiveness, but they don't want to forgive others. So they did not experience the effect of the forgiveness of God. God has forgiven us, but the effect of the forgiveness of God, we need to experience that. We just don't keep it to ourselves. God knows a repentant believer, and He knows when we deceive Him, and He knows when we deceive ourselves into believing that we are forgiven. Many Christians say, I am forgiven. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Once saved, always saved. But they deceive themselves because they just cannot forgive others. Those statements are true, but it doesn't mean they are personal experience. Practically, when we forgive others, that is when we personally experience the effect of the forgiveness of God. Together, let's reflect on what the Lord had declared in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Now, look at that. I thought God knows everything, right? I thought God knows the past, the present, the future. But He remembers something. He does not remember something. He does not remember the sin He forgave. That's how the Lord forgave us. Do you still sense that guilt feeling in your heart that you did that embarrassing mistake that you did in the past keep on coming to you and you feel guilty? Do you still feel guilty? The Lord, if you ask the Lord for forgiveness, He does not remember. Why do you still remember? Because maybe you haven't experienced the forgiveness of God yet. Maybe that is the reason you feel guilty. You feel that fault. The Lord knows everything from the past, the present, the future. Yet God choose not. He choose not to remember every sin He has forgiven. Now, if God had already forgiven us even before we were yet to be born, why do we still need to repent our sins? God has already forgiven us even before we commit sin. But why do we need to repent? Forgiveness of God takes effect only when we repent. It's not because He has given that forgiveness to us and it takes effect in our life. No. When we repent, that is when the forgiveness takes effect. And we experience that forgiveness when we forgive others. Forgiveness from God, this is gift from God that only sincere, repentant believer can experience. Not everyone can experience the forgiveness of God, even if God had forgiven everyone. Only repentant, sincere believers, sincerely repentant believer can experience. Now, I don't know if this is a very good example, but there was this young boy. Dad, look at that bicycle. It's beautiful. I like that bicycle. Will you buy that for me, Dad? The father said to the little boy, well, I reserve for you. I will reserve that for you. When you are strong enough, you can take it. Drive it wherever you want to go. That was the promise of the father. But few years later, the father went abroad, and the boy became a teenager. And he observed that the bicycle was still on display, not bought. Curiously, that teenager asked the store owner, Why is that bicycle on display reserved in my name? The store owner said, your father bought that bicycle many years ago and told me to give you only when you ask for it. That is why it is still on display with your name in it. More than 2,000 years ago, Christ declared it is finished. He had already purchased our freedom from sin. Everyone is included in that. But not everyone had been freed from sin. Why? We can only experience forgiveness of sin when we sincerely repent of our sins. God has designed repentance as practical proof that we receive forgiveness of our sins from God. We don't randomly throw precious things, right? I have this gift from the ladies in my birthday. I like it very much. It's so precious to me. If I would remove it, if it's really precious to me, and say, oh, come on, catch anyone, I won't do that. Sorry. I won't do that. It's so precious to me. And you won't do that. When it's precious to you, you don't do that, right? Don't just throw it away randomly and anybody will just catch it. The forgiveness of God is a gift. It's priceless. It's priceless. And He won't randomly give to anybody, although He offers to anybody. Only sincere repentant believers can receive the forgiveness of God. Remember this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13 declares, all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and through belief in the truth. No matter what they assume, condemnation of unbelief had been decreed. It had been decreed. So we need to be sure that we sincerely repented of our sins. We need to experience the forgiveness of God, not keeping records of wrong. We need the Holy Spirit to produce agape love in us. That is the transformational proof that God had forgiven us, that we received the forgiveness of God, that the forgiveness of God had taken effect in our lives. Don't just say you have been forgiven by the Lord. Make sure that there is effect, practical effect in your life, the forgiveness of God. So keep praying, Lord, empower me by the Holy Spirit, by your Holy Spirit. Keep praying that the Holy Spirit produce agape love until you sense that agape love prevailing in your heart. How do you do that? Think of those people that hurt you before, people who did bad things in your life that made you angry in the past. Try to remember those people. If you sense that resentment in your heart, ask the Lord, Lord, I still sense resentment in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, please. Then keep on until everyone that you remember who made bad things in your life and then you sense that peace. Well, maybe it's a mistake, They do not need to come to you and ask for forgiveness, but you are at peace with your heart that you can easily forgive them or you have forgiven them. That is for you, not for them. It is for us to be assured, all the more assured, that we have received the forgiveness of God. With that, we can be assured that we will enter heaven. You do not like to enter heaven with resentment of hearts. You like to enter heaven with rejoicing, with love, with peace. If you have that, you enjoy the life, abundant life that the Lord Jesus had promised. Let's stand up together and take this time. Maybe you can remember one or two persons that made your life difficult before. Just think of that person and ask the Lord if to let you sense if you have still resentment or not.